Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on our conversation, of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. No super major news this week, but a lot of little things that we really need to get to. And I do want to start out with what I think could be an important piece of news. And that is that apparently Baron Corbin went very viral for going off on a fan who blew the whistle on the Bron Breakker Von Wagner spot from NXT. If you did not see it, they did an excellent job, camera-wise, announcer-wise, of making it appear as though Bron Breakker's spot went terribly wrong, that he was supposed to hit Von Wagner with the steel stairs, obviously not really hit him, crush his head with the stairs, but that it slipped or he just did it for real. The paramedics that they had rushed to the scene looked legit. They look legitimately worried. Von Wagner was busted open. There was a lot of buzz on the internet saying, oh, my God, he screwed up and he really hurt Von Wagner and this is a big deal. They went to black instantly on NXT because they knew it was a real injury and everything. And then, you know, it's very hard these days to work fans. It's almost impossible. With the advent of the internet and even admittedly shows like this, it's hard to work fans because if you're going to say the news, what are you supposed to say? Yes, Von Wagner is seriously injured. And then when it turns out he's not seriously injured, fans who listen to the show say, well, you didn't know anything. Why did you tell us that? So it's very tough. But at the same time, there's a real part of me that thinks this is what's killing wrestling. And a real part of me that thinks what Baron Corbin said is correct. Now, Corbin went a little far. Corbin went so far as to call the guy a piece of trash because he was able to film the incident and he was able to show that the stairs never actually touched Von Wagner's head. So it exposed the whole thing as just being one big work. And Corbin said this is the reason wrestling fans don't enjoy wrestling as much and this guy shouldn't be allowed to enjoy wrestling anymore because he's a scumbag who basically just wants to reveal how the trick is done. I don't know how I feel about this. And I've thought about it for almost a full day, saying to myself, well, Corbin's right. You shouldn't do that. But then I say, well, now, wait a minute. Corbin, maybe he's not right. I mean, if someone thinks someone's seriously injured, the job of people like us to say, guys, don't worry, he's not injured. Or is it our job to play along and say, oh, yes, he is. Yes, this could have been tragic. I don't know exactly. I don't know where this lies. This is the problem with professional wrestling. If wrestling has one major problem, it's this. It requires that the fans, and to a large degree, the media, go along with the inside joke, if you want to call it that. Now, if you remember, if you go back in your history books, there used to be wrestling magazines out, like Inside Wrestling and The Wrestler and things. I collect wrestling magazines. I have some, quite a few actually, and for a good long time, those reporters, really they were just writers, would go along with whatever angle. They would totally not break kayfabe. And you'd get articles like, why Terry Funk must destroy Ric Flair, And you'd get a bad guy reporter and a good guy reporter, and the bad guy reporter would side with all the bad guys, and the good guy reporter would side with all the good guys, and they were playing along. Then real journalism came along where they said, well, if you want to be treated like a sport and you want ESPN to cover it, what would you like ESPN to do? Should ESPN come out and say, Von Wagner was seriously injured? And then when he's not seriously injured and it was all just a work, they look like idiots? See, this is a very tough thing, and I'm not sure where it lies. I know basically Corbin was saying the fan shouldn't have uploaded the video. There was no video that existed, so just leave it be. But if you thought people weren't going to ask questions about whether Von Wagner was really hurt or not, of course they were. Just like you're going to in any form of entertainment if you think somebody's hurt. I honestly don't think necessarily you need to swerve someone to that extent. When we talk about swerves here on the show, I don't necessarily think it has to be, oh, he really did injure him. Because we know if he really did injure him, then we would see a totally different character talking about that injury and saying, oh, man, I'm so sorry. What happened when Big E was really injured? Okay, we saw Ridge Holland literally go to the hospital to visit Big E. So it's exposed anyway. No one's going to say, oh, man, when Von Wagner gets healthy again, he's really going to take it to Bron Breakker for doing that, because it's not going to work, because it's just not going to work. The littler swerves are more important. A guy turning when you didn't think he was going to turn. Someone losing when you really didn't think they were going to lose. King development in a storyline. Not necessarily an injury. A fake injury, to me, isn't really swerving someone, because I don't think you can swerve someone. I just don't think you can anymore. And trying it is admirable, but what did you expect was going to happen? You want national media coverage. They're not going to go along with your storylines. They're just not going to. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this, Mike. It's a very interesting development, though.
Right, and the difference between what you were talking about, I used to have a rather sizable collection of, you know, Inside Wrestling, Pro Wrestling Illustrated, all that stuff, right? The Wrestler, that type of thing. And the difference between that is, yeah, you got the good guy, bad guy article, but those articles would come out months after that particular incident would take place. And let's just take, for instance, this incident. If this incident happened back then, all right, it happened, what, on Wednesday night, right? At a TV taping, right? If it happened back then, they would write about it, but that article would not come out until for another month or so, right? So they could figure out what they're going to write, how they're going to write it, and we didn't have quote citizen journalists using their cell phones that have everybody in that building had a cell phone, right? And these cell phones have cameras on them, right? And you can't expect these fans not to take pictures with their cell phones. I've done it at my local wrestling cards. I've done it. So you can't expect the fans not to do that. And if you're got a fan that's on the same side of the ring where the steps are, and you pull something like that, that fan or those fans are gonna take a picture of that. There's no question about it. You can't stop it. So I don't. But Baron Corbin, yeah, he may be playing a bad guy. And he may be wanting more kayfabe, but, I mean, in some respects, thanks to this company he is now in, kayfabe is dead in some respects.
Yeah, and, you know, it's worth mentioning also You're right. It would have taken a little time for the magazine to come out and everything, but it's also worth mentioning that it's kind of hard to put into words. Let me try. If we didn't have these citizen journalists, even today, with things that weren't involved with wrestling, you wouldn't know the truth about anything. Because journalists all play that game. I know wrestling wants to protect it itself and say, oh, we want all the storylines to look like they're real. You've passed that point of no return. I hate to tell Baron Corbin, but you've passed that point of no return. But let me explain something. I never really watched the TV show Game of Thrones, but I had friends who did. And apparently there was some kind of a big deal with something called the Black Wedding, and they were mad. And I'm not talking about a little bit mad. I'm talking about furiously angry mad at certain characters. And I'm saying to myself, well, you know it's just actors. You know these people are just following a script, right? And they're mad. I mean violently mad. And I'm saying, well, whoever those writers were are excellent. Because these people who are intelligent people and clearly know that these are actors and actresses are pissed. For real, pissed. So I think wrestling needs to concentrate on that. You need to concentrate on saying it's a given that it's scripted. But we're going to make these characters so believable. And we're going to make these characters so intense that when something happens, you're going to get mad whether or not you know it's real or not. See, the problem is Von Wagner is not over enough so that just a kayfabe injury is going to make fans mad at Braun Breaker. They're just going to say, oh, that's just part of the gimmick. You need those writers to be able to create characters that fans, almost like with this Game of Thrones thing, that fans are ready to riot over, even though they know it's not true. That's the secret, I think, Tom, not trying to bluff the fans into thinking something's actually real, but just to create characters strong enough so you don't care if it's real, it feels real to you.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, wrestling has gotten so overexposed with the advent of the internet. I mean, check your history book again. You can go back as far as... We can go back as far as 1996, I believe it was, during the infamous curtain call, and look how mad people were. Even further back with Shawn Michaels getting injured, and even the commentators went dark and they played that like a very real injury. There was no internet back then. And they made that into a great angle for Sean. This is something that, you know, you fast forward to 2023, this is something that can't be done with the internet. And it's a shame. I don't know how I feel about Baron Corbin going scorched earth.
Yeah, listen, the horse has left the barn. You're not going to convince fans that a wrestler purposely injured another wrestler, and that wrestler really is injured, and that they're not fired, suspended, horribly embarrassed or saddened by what they did and recalcitrant or whatever. You're not going to convince fans of that. So stop trying. Instead of trying to make people believe he's really injured, Braun Breaker's really a bad guy who did that, you're not going to believe it. People are not going to believe it. You got to make the character so strong that nobody cares whether it's right or wrong. Nobody cares whether it happened for real. Once again, I'm sure you all know people who watch like soap operas or whatever, and you'd hear people say, "That son of a God damn it. I'm so mad at this person. I'm so mad at that person." That's just an actor. I can't wait until this person gets what's coming to him, or I can't wait till these two get together. They're not really together. And that's not really a bad person. Same way with movies. Wrestling has got to understand that you have more in common with movies and television shows than you do soccer and baseball or boxing or MMA. You are an entertainment vessel. You work off a script and storyline. That's what they do on television and in movies. You have to create characters that people care about the character, even if the person playing it, it didn't happen to. Okay? Go watch an old classic like, I don't know, Old Yeller from Disney or Turner and Hooch. And when the dog dies, people cried. That dog didn't die. Neither one of those dogs died. You're crying over something that didn't happen. But they got you. And they didn't have to pretend it was real either to do it. So I think Baron Corbin needs to understand that the business itself has to change, Todd, not necessarily the fans, because you're not going to be able to control the fans.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, like you said and everybody said on this panel, kayfabe just sort of died. You know, it's now these days you bring video cameras on your phones to wrestling shows and it kind of ruins it.
Whether it ruins it or not, the fans have the right to that experience, so I don't know what to tell you. All I know is you better have your writers write for characters rather than real people, because fans are much more modernized now, and they're not going to buy into it. Anyway, the Dudley Boys, Bubba Ray and D-Von, have signed a Legends contract with the WWE. I don't know what that means, because I was told that D-Von certainly cannot wrestle, although someone said they were going to make an appearance in Impact, so maybe that has changed. I don't know whether the Legends contract's just going to consist of them doing personal appearances, things like that, or they're actually going to try to wrestle. Not sure. But I thought it was interesting that they are starting to sign some of these guys up to Legends contracts, Mike. It seems like they want to solidify even the older generation to keep them away from other potential federations.
Right, and here's the deal. If they're signing the Dudley Boys up to the thing, and we know to this Legends contract, then we know that they're going to try and do an ECW reunion type thing. Well, this could be the start of them trying to get a lot of these guys to come in to do this ECW thing. You get the Dudley Boys. You possibly get Shane Douglas. You possibly get, you know, Tommy Dreamer. You know, maybe Beulah. Maybe Francine. Spike Dudley, possibly, whatever, whoever you got to do to get this thing to get off the ground. This could be the start of it, you know. And that's the thing. We have to figure out, and, you know, how long was Hacksaw Jim Duggan on a Legends deal? I mean, look, they could sign this Legends deal, and boom, within 6 months, they could be having this ECW thing, and it could be back in the ring again. Now, Grant, you said that Bubba Ray can't wrestle. Well, probably 6 months from now, you know, it's going to be, well, he's going to be well enough to at least do a 5-minute match or whatever, you know. You know,
I'm not sure. It's D-Von that can't wrestle, according to Bubba Ray Dudley, and, you know, we don't know. At this stage, we don't know. I do know the WWE is going to snag up a lot of the older talent so that they can't be utilized in any other capacity by any of these other federations. Smart idea or not so smart idea, Tom?
In terms of, if you remember, D-Von Dudley was a backstage producer at some point in the last couple of years, and for whatever reason, he made an appearance at a show, and then they, I guess, which he was told not to, and he did anyway, and then they fired him. So I don't. I mean, having him backstage as a, you know, or having him on, having them both on a Legends contract, I think is good because, you know, it brings back the some of the older generation, and they have good, you know, they can have good input on the show, you know, on the show itself, whether it's Raw or SmackDown. And just to have them, you know, in the locker room, giving the young guys, you know, advice and helping to bring them up, even in NXT. I'm for it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's okay. I don't know what the terms is, and I don't know how much money they're making, but I suppose if it keeps them out of the hands of the competition, it might be worth it. So now let's go to the AEW ratings thing is bothering me because fans are saying they suffered the lowest ratings they ever had on Collision. People tuned in for the first, like, 40 minutes of the show, and then a lot of people tuned out, and they only ended up with an average of, like, 325,000 people. And they're blaming the fact that CM Punk got fired. They're basically saying, oh, well, when they found out CM Punk wasn't there, they decided they're not going to watch the show anymore. That's not true. First off, it went up against Payback. Second off, it went up against college football. Third off, I know at least four people personally who don't watch AEW that tuned in just to see what they were going to say about the CM Punk thing. They weren't interested in watching the rest of the show. They were never going to watch the rest of the show. They figured it would be addressed in the beginning, or they'd say he was there, he wasn't there, or something, and then they were going to tune out. It wasn't like people tuned in and say, oh boy, CM Punk's on TV tonight. Oh, he's not? Well, screw this. Nobody did that. Nobody did that. I mean, it's a nice thought. If you're a CM Punk fan and you want to hang your hat on that, fine. But it's not true. People tuned in out of curiosity to see what was going to be said about Punk. They weren't interested in the show anyway, and they were never going to stay and watch it. When they found out what the Punk situation was, they had what they came for, and they left. If CM Punk was such a draw, how come 450,000 was normal? How come it wasn't a million? How come it wasn't 800,000? How come it was only 450,000? But he's such a draw. Becky Lynch goes down to NXT, and the numbers go up by 150,000. Is Becky Lynch such a draw? Or is it just curiosity? CM Punk never really moved the needle. You can say what you want. He never really moved the needle. Yeah, when he first got hired, he did because people were curious. How are they going to use him? How's he going to look? How's he going to wrestle? And then when he became a sort of a weekly person on the show, they were like, eh, whatever. And it went right back down. So for the people who are saying CM Punk being fired and people not knowing and tuning into the show and finding out turned it off in disgust, that's not true. I'm not saying not one person didn't, but the vast majority did not. At all. Now, they also fired Ace Steel because there's no reason to have Ace Steel there without CM Punk. He basically just produced CM Punk's matches because, of course, CM Punk is such an uber star, such a mega star. He has to have his own private producer. The people they have backstage at AEW, they can't do it. They're no good. He has to have his own, you know, like you have to have your own dressing room and your own makeup artist and your own chauffeur and don't talk to the help and don't make eye contact with them when you're talking to them unless you're one of the top people. I'm tired of this nonsense, weak bullshit. And then they say, well, you know, it's all for one and one for all. No, it's not. There's an awful lot of, you know, the elite, when they say all elite wrestling, they're getting pretty close to accurate. Because there's a lot of people there who have a major elitist attitude, and it's not just CM Punk. But this is what happens when the elites meet the elite. Okay, this is what happens. To think CM Punk's not one of those is crazy. He was the king of them. He was the king of the elitist snob. But then he ran into a whole bunch more elitist snobs who really don't have that mentality of it's all for one and one for all. They just pretend they do. This AEW has been in existence for close to 4 years. They've had more backstage altercations, more locker room drama, more fist fights and everything else than the WWE's had in a decade. A decade. And you're going to tell me these are the kumbaya people. These are the people who they're going to treat everybody. See, we're going to have a federation where we treat all the wrestlers great. Not like terrible Vince McMahon. Well, yeah, they're really being treated great. Monitors are being knocked over. People are fist fighting in hallways. People are kicking down dressing room doors. People are using scrums for their own personal pulpit to air their grievances with management. Please. The inmates run the asylum over there, and the inmates are still running the asylum. Just because Tony Khan fired CM Punk and Ace Steel, okay, so now some of the elites are going to say, oh, boy, we won. Okay, well, but you're still, there's still going to be trouble. There's still going to be trouble because then it's going to be somebody else who got to crawl up their ass that you don't like. It should be called Select Wrestling Federation. We select people that we like, that's our best friends, and if they're not our friends, they can't play in our club. That's not a business. It's not a business. You work in an office, they don't go around and saying, does everybody like so-and-so? We're going to have a little party to introduce him. And if you don't like him, then we're not going to hire him. He does have all the qualifications, and he is extremely talented at what he does. But if you guys don't like his personality or his attitude, we'll just move on. Nobody does that. They say you're being paid. Suck it up if you don't like him. But that suck it up goes for CM Punk, too. Because I very seldom agree with Eric Bischoff, but I agree with what he said when he said CM Punk had no right to tell Jack Perry not to use glass, which is what I said to begin with. Who does CM Punk think he is to go over to anybody else and say, you're not doing that? Do you own AEW? No, you don't. If Tony Khan tells him not to use the glass, then he can't use the glass. You have no right to tell him to do anything. At all. How about if somebody came over to CM Punk and said, hey, can't think of his name off the top of my head. How about if the guy that really created the go-to-sleep, Kenta maybe says, oh, you can't use it. You may get away with that shit here, but you're not getting away with it here, and you're not using it. People would say, how dare he talk to CM Punk like that? Well, how dare CM Punk talk to Jack Perry like that? Jack Perry's perfectly right to say, I don't really give a damn what you have to say. You're just a worker here, same as me. I can tell you this. When I wrestled, if some other worker just stumbled up to me and said, I don't really think you should use actual barbed wire, we can get the phony stuff and use it. And, you know, you might get away with that shit when I'm not around, but I'm here now and I'm telling you you're not using it. I'd have told him to go fuck himself. Get his ass back in the dressing room, worry about his own match, and don't be worried about what I do. Now, if the people that ran the place said you can't use the barbed wire, okay, then I guess I can't. But you're not going to have some other guy. I know people say, but CM Punk ran the place. Well, why did he run the place? You know why he ran the place? Because nobody wanted him where he was to begin with. So to make everyone happy, they had to give him his own show. So he won't fight with the other. We'll give you your own show. I mean, isn't that a tip-off that you can't work with a guy? So I don't think the ratings had anything much, Mike, to do with the fact that CM Punk was fired. I think it had to do with people tuning in to see what was going to happen.
Right, and that's the thing. And look, he really, in his second stint there, he really didn't move the needle. I mean, look, through all the things, look, and he's – the difference between him and Becky Lynch is Becky Lynch is well-liked. Becky Lynch has the respect. You may not like her personally, but she has the respect. And that's why she, when she went down, it moved the needle, right? You know,
yeah.
They've been promoting a match between her, a thing between her and Tiffany Stratton, and she goes down and it moves the needle, right? That's the difference. And this guy that obviously didn't move the needle, that is a snob, really doesn't like wrestling. I mean, yeah, the people like the Young Bucks, they may be snobs, but you can tell they want to be wrestlers, right? They want to be in the business, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Know?
That's a fair point, Mike. Think about it this way. If I said, well, I'm a great pitcher, and I love baseball, but the only way I'm going to pitch is if every single person on the team is handpicked by me. No matter what the manager says, I get to tell you when you take your pitchers out. I get to tell you when somebody's getting pinch hit for. I get to tell the players how to position themselves in the outfield. It's my team. You can pretend you're the manager. But what I say goes, guess where I'd be? I'd be off the team, digging a ditch somewhere. Because they'd say, yeah, well, good luck finding that. No one gets to do that. Tom Seaver didn't get to do that, okay? Nolan Ryan didn't get to do that. You think I'm going to get to do that? No one gets to do that. Did Hulk Hogan have his own show? You know, everybody says Hulk Hogan had such a big ego and kept people down. Did he have his own show where he handpicked only just his friends? Did he go run around the dressing room saying, you can't do this in your match, and you can't use glass, and you can't use this? And come on, folks. Everybody's all over Hulk Hogan for being that way. Yeah, Hogan was bad enough, but it wasn't to this level. So, Tom, I don't think that too many people tuned out of disgust that Punk was fired. I think more likely they tuned in to see what the news would be and then tuned out when they found out.
Yeah, that's ridiculous for anybody to say. I mean, I wish I could take credit for this line, and I thought it was great, and I normally don't agree with Eric Bischoff, but he did have a good point. I mean, Tony Khan saying in a statement that he's going to wrestling shows for 30 years, and it's the first time he's been afraid for his life. It was like... And he said he was afraid for his life. Did he see CM Punk fight in UFC? I don't. CM Punk is a sissy. He uses his prima donna attitude and his prima donna diva mentality to run people down. And he was on thin ice anyway. Regardless of all that, no one's tuning in to see after this crap that happened at All In, no one's tuning in to see the rest of that show. They're tuning in to see what was going to be said. And, of course, it was going to be said in the beginning because it was going to be addressed. That's the right thing to do. And kudos to Tony Khan for doing it. But
no, of course. It's, and, again, and then they tuned out. Now, Bryan Danielson's been taking his spot. Bryan Danielson's now going to have to take over this show because he is the star power of the. If that's the case. Now, here's the thing, though. Maybe he doesn't have to, because I don't think there has to be necessarily now this strict divide. There doesn't have to be a separate roster necessarily anymore because CM Punk is gone. He's the only reason there was a separate roster. We saw the Young Bucks over there already. So I don't necessarily think everyone has to be pre-approved now by CM Punk, so maybe you'll see a lot of stars over there. Bryan Danielson never asked for his own show where he could handpick the people who were on there. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with Collision now, Todd. Perhaps it'll just go back to being another AEW show that isn't roster separated.
Hold on. Something wrong with the phone. Good, Doug.
Since CM Punk is gone, like you said, we could see, like, different superstars be on, like, go on different shows back and forth, like, alternate back and forth now. Now CM Punk's gone. Now you could see guys like maybe Colt Cabana may come back on TV. We haven't seen him on TV for how long?
Yeah, it'll be, what'll be interesting is this. When they don't have any competition, now the college football thing is going to be regular, but when they don't have any competition or much, let's see if the ratings go back up to about the 400,000 mark. Because if they do, CM Punk meant nothing. If they stay at 200,000 and 300,000, then you might have an argument. But if it goes right back up in the next month or so to the 400,000 plus mark, you have no argument at all. CM Punk didn't move the needle in an inch. So that'll be fascinating to see. I'll be looking forward to seeing that, actually. Now, the interesting thing is, some people are saying he had two contracts. Some people are saying Punk had a contract as a performer, but he also had a contract as an employee. What's the difference, you ask? Well, I guess one of them's in a technical thing. Like, he was thinking he was going to work for a year or two and then move into a different field there, and he wanted two separate contracts. My assumption is both of them are terminated. That's what I would assume. You can't literally make the argument he's unsafe backstage and then say, but he can come backstage as long as he's not wrestling. So I imagine both of them are terminated. I don't know what the deal is or whether they're going to have to pay anything out or they're not. I'm sure the contract was insured. So, you know, we'll go from there. I'm not really sure how, even if that's true. But if it is, I'm sure both contracts were terminated. Anyway, we got to see a little bit of a teaser for Jey Uso possibly joining the Judgment Day. Might as well, right? Now you got a Samoan. So you'll have a Mexican, a Puerto Rican, a Samoan, an Irishman. Back to the League of Nations. That's not going to happen, folks. There's going to be a teaser probably with that. You know, if the bad guys are going to be wanting to recruit him. Obviously, Jey Uso is a face, and he's going to stay a face. So maybe that he'll be one of the people who battle the bloodline. That would be my assumption. Rhea Ripley did retweet a photo that a fan made of Jey Uso sort of with the blood. I guess it's fan art with Jey Uso in the bloodline. I thought that was kind of interesting, but that's not going to be happening, Tom. They're not hooking Jey Uso up with a heel faction.
Definitely not. And that's even like that doesn't pass the sniff test. You said the League of Nations. They said you might as well call them the Un-Americans. I mean, come on now. Jey Uso is not joining the Judgment Day. Yes, it's a teaser. And yes, Dominic and Jay had a good exchange, but it wasn't, it's not something that's going to happen. I mean, it wouldn't even make any sense.
No, I don't see the storyline where that would work. Because you know you're trying to get to Jimmy versus Jay at WrestleMania somehow. So I don't think that'd make any sense. I don't think that's going to happen. Now, here's the interesting thing, going back to the AEW ratings, Dynamite actually rose in the ratings. Dynamite actually went up in the ratings by about 2% overall. They had 887,000 average viewers. So their average show on Dynamite's getting 887,000. CM Punk, the big draw, the guy who's the literally the foundation of your organization, 400,000 is good. Half. Wake up, folks. He wasn't moving the needle. He wasn't a big draw. You might like him. It's fine if you like him, but you can't deny the truth. truth is right there. 889,000 on the show that does not feature CM Punk, 350,000 on the show that does or did. No brainer. So General Adnan also passed away. He was 84, maybe 85. Probably underrated. There's going to be a lot of people who say, well, I never really saw him wrestle. Well, certainly he did wrestle. He managed more than he wrestled. But a lot of people don't know that in the early WWWF, he wrestled as Billy White Wolf, an Indian. And for a while, he was the tag team partner of Chief J. Strongbow. So he had quite a long wrestling career. And I think during that Sergeant Slaughter era, where Sergeant Slaughter became the heel, the anti-American heel, Adnan was such a important part of that. Such an important part of that. I don't think it would have worked the way it did work. And it worked so well that they had to move WrestleMania from an outdoor event to an indoor event because they were afraid of security for Sergeant Slaughter. I don't think it would have worked that well, Mike, without Adnan. So another loss to the wrestling world.
Another loss for the wrestling world. But, you know, Adnan and Terry Funk, yeah, you know, they're older. You're basically expecting these two guys at some point. I don't want to be too morbid about it, but they're 84 and 85 years old, you know. In Terry Funk's case, he abused his body just by the style of wrestling he did, you know. And so you're expecting these guys to not be around too much longer, and they weren't. So yeah, it's not something that was unexpected, General Adnan not dying. You know, you kind of expected that, so yeah. You know,
I'm not saying it was unexpected necessarily. I'm just saying I think there's a lot of people who probably saw that graphic and said, who, or was he really that important? Yeah, actually he was. He actually was. Billy White Wolf, very important. If you go back in your wrestling history, a little bit before my time, but go back to the wrestling history, I believe him and Chief J. Strongbow were champions, tag team champions, a couple of times maybe. I think at some point maybe he even turned on Strongbow and they fought each other. I don't know. I don't know the exact history, but I know that he had a big history with that. And then as General Adnan, well, I would argue that that was maybe one of the last big kayfabe angles, one of the last angles that people really said they really bought into, to the point where, like I said, they literally were told, you can't have this event outside. There's too many death threats on Sergeant Slaughter, and we can't secure that entire outdoor facility and make sure that one of these threats isn't carried through. It would be too risky. That's amazing. That may be one of the last big things, Tom, that I can think of that fans literally just 100% bought lock, stock, and barrel.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I believe that General Adnan did some work down in World Class as well.
Oh, yeah.
He was,
absolutely.
He was all over. So I remember watching those shows on ESPN. I was a young man, but the ESPN – back in the day with World Class, I remember seeing him, not as General Adnan, obviously, but, I mean, that angle that they – it wouldn't have worked without him. It was just the Sheik and Slaughter. It would not have worked. It would have been impactful, but it wouldn't have been as impactful. And that's – he was an integral part of that that thing. Again, I was a young man, and I was – you know, I bought into it. And it was one of the, you know, highlights of WrestleMania 7. And we were all talking.
Absolutely. It absolutely was. You know, once again, probably underrated as far as his contributions, especially to that angle, Todd.
Oh, absolutely. I like that. Excuse me. I think actually like that. Like you said, General Agnew was one of those guys who was was a big part of the wrestling business. And you know, like you said, he was the important part, especially in the Iraqi angle with Sergeant Slaughter in the WWE back in the day.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah. So they say they come in threes. You know, it's really weird because it almost seems to be true. Anyway, what are we looking forward to tonight? Well, L.A. Knight, by the way, we should say this. L.A. Knight has went from a guy who literally was on the chopping block, who literally says, I was waiting for the phone call to be fired. I was basically told I was done. He didn't want to do the Max Dupree thing. He wanted to go back to being L.A. Knight. And he said, you know, I was waiting for the phone call. Basically, they were telling me it's, you know, a matter of just running out your contract, not re-signing him or whatever it happened to be. To now, them wanting to sign him long-term and apparently very close to signing a very long-term deal with a guy who's over 40. And from what I hear, a very large push is coming. A very large push is coming. So here's the thing. Here's a guy who really honestly has busted his ass in this business for a long, long time and never really was the guy. He was more one of the pack. He was entertaining. He was in the picture, but he wasn't the guy, you know. LA Knight now has a chance to be the guy. He's going to have to turn up his game a little bit, though. Both in the ring and even on the mic. 2 weeks in a row, he's had some problems with, you know, stumbling over his words, which has never been a problem for him. Here is a piece of advice that the WWE should take. Bring back the dummy thing. Heard an interview with LA Knight where somebody flat out asked him about it, and he said, well, some people want it back, meaning the WWE doesn't. He couldn't come out and say that, but that's what he meant, is the WWE doesn't want me to do it because they didn't think of it. They don't own copyright on it, I guess. Maybe they can. Maybe that's part of the new contract. I saw signs in the audience that said, dummy, yeah. You got to bring back the dummy thing. That's going to drive this extra because the yeah thing is almost like what? It's fun for a little while, but then it gets annoying. Thing was really good with Austin for a while, and then it just became a source of aggravation and fans doing it to aggravate people, not because they really were, you know, an Austin fan or doing anything with Austin. The dummy thing, however, that went over. So if you want to combine the two, combine the two. But I think really, Mike, they have to give some hard consideration to bringing back that catchphrase.
They really do, and that's the thing. Now, you know, dummy, you know, we talked about this before, the dummy/dummy button. That's the other thing they need to bring back. I mean, you could sell a hell of a lot of T-shirts with dummy button on it. You could probably sell a hell of a lot of T-shirts with dummy yeah on it. You know?
Yeah, or so, yeah, Namer of Dummies. Yeah.
Namer of Dummies, yeah. And one other thing, AEW needs to jump all over the Miro, CJ Perry thing. Go whole hog on it. Because it just needs to happen.
I agree with that. Let's see if they can run with that. I should mention that Jack Perry's been suspended indefinitely, and from what I'm told, it either amounts to a suspension with a very large fine or it's suspended without pay. But either way, financially, it's going to hurt Jack Perry, and a lot of people are saying he's probably wrapping up his career there. I don't necessarily have a problem with that. Once again, for you people who are jumping on me about saying CM Punk was rightfully fired, I'm not sticking up for the Young Bucks.
I told you, as executive vice president, they could have handled this better. But at the end of the day, I do understand that if a man says X, Y, and Z and insults you, and then say, if you have a problem with anything I said, you just come knock on my door. If I don't knock on your door, then next week you say, obviously they were too scared. They knew what would happen to them if they knocked on my door. So they're little cowards who just ran away when somebody told them like it was. If you do knock on their door, then you're hotheads who come looking for a fight. So either way, CM Punk trapped you into losing that particular battle. What you should have done is you should have went immediately to Tony Khan and said, we're going to sit down and talk about this. And we're going to get a rebuttal. We're going to get a rebuttal on television. And we're going to say exactly that. We're going to say, hey, CM Punk, you're a real brave guy. You challenge us to come to the dressing room if we don't like what you say. Knowing we're executive vice presidents, and if we come to your dressing room, you're going to bitch that we were trying to start a fight with you. And if we don't come to your dressing room, you're going to tout us as cowards who's afraid to come to your dressing room. Come to the ring. Come to the ring and let's have a talk. We don't need to come to your dressing room. We don't work in your dressing room. You don't work in your dressing room either. You work in this ring. We're in the ring. Come talk. Then you've turned the tables on CM Punk. If he does not show up, then he looks like a coward and a bitch. If he does show up, he looks like he's the guy looking for the fight. You handled it wrong. The Young Bucks handled it wrong. I'm not a Young Bucks fan. I know how they are. I'm not a Jack Perry fan. I heard from fans how he treated fans at conventions and autograph signings. I'm not a fan. What I am saying is this. Two wrongs don't make a right. CM Punk also, as an older, more experienced worker, should never have caused these things to happen. If he thought Jack Perry shouldn't use glass, then he should have called up Tony Khan and said, do you know that he's going to use real glass? Are you okay with that? And if Tony Khan says yes, then that's it. Tony Khan says no, then CM Punk could go and say, listen, man, I just talked to Tony Khan because I was concerned about this. He does not want you using real glass, dude, and I don't blame him. Then it looks like you're a normal person looking out for his best interest. If you have a problem with the executive vice presidents, you don't wait until all of the people are in the room, all the reporters, and then say it out loud in front of an entire group of people who just came to celebrate your pay-per-view. You wait until you're in private, and you say, after this, I want to have a meeting with Tony Khan. Tony, I got a major problem with your executive vice president. That's not something you air publicly. Why does CM Punk think that's okay to air publicly? So, yes, he was to blame, but so were the Young Bucks. So is Jack Perry. Young Bucks were also suspended. Jack Perry's also suspended. And probably not going to be around very much longer. So, Tom, I think this was handled okay by Tony Khan.
I think so, too. And I probably should mention that I did see on the NXT promos that I don't remember offhand who it was, but they kept playing the same promo over and over again, where the guy was saying, if you don't like what I have to say, you come and see me. I thought that was actually pretty funny. And it brings that match probably got the segment probably got a good rating just for that specifically. Cause you know, people were watching, you know, people were thinking the same thing I am. As for Jack Perry being suspended indefinitely, I'm totally on board with that. Cause he was wrong too. I find it amusing in a way that CM Punk, the big mouth that he is, has not made a statement as of yet regarding his termination.
He's going to wait until he can spin it some way that makes him look like the victim, like he always does. But here's what you got to remember. If you go on a blind date and the girl ends up telling your friends, I'm sorry, the guy was a jerk. Maybe it's just her. But if you go on 10 blind dates and every single one of them says you're a jerk, you better accept it's you. CM Punk cannot accept it's him. This isn't one person or two people or three people or five people. It's dozens of people. So at what point do you have to say, well, wait a minute. They're all wrong, every one of them. They're all just against me. That doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. So tonight on SmackDown, what are we going to see? Well, obviously, folks, did they say Roman was going to make an appearance? I believe they did. I know that's I think that was what they were saying. Roman was going to make an appearance. So we'll see where that storyline's going. I'll be interested to see where the Jimmy Uso thing goes, because obviously they're going to be trying as hard as they can to make Jimmy the, not the face, but Jimmy the big deal over on SmackDown while Jay is doing Raw, and then they're going to clash at some point, which is probably WrestleMania. LA Knight, it's going to, could be a big, there's a big test for him. There's a big test for him. Mike, usually I can tell when somebody is ready to break out and they're going to be a mega, mega, mega star. And I really like LA Knight. I've always liked Eli Drake. But I'm a little iffy. I'm thinking to myself, can this last for like a couple of years? Or is this like a very short deal where the fans are just into him for 6 months and then it slowly fades away? I think it depends on how he handles his character, and I think that's going to be crucial.
You know, I've liked L.A. Knight since he was back there in the Heartland Wrestling Association with Jon Moxley and Pepper Parks, you know. And you know, I've liked him ever since then. And this is a guy that's been all over the place, done this thing all over the place, been plugging away for years and years and years. Couldn't happen to a better guy. This is the type of guy people can get behind and should get behind. And hopefully, if what you're saying about the contract is true and it's a long-term deal, then they think that he can be at least a guy that can do it for, let's say, 3 to 4 years, all right? It's not going to be a question of months. It's going to be a question of years. And as far as what might happen with Jey Uso, just think about possibly putting Jey Uso with Sami Zayn in a tag team.
It could happen now that they're no longer the tag team champions. See, the thing is with Eli Drake, LA Knight, Todd, I think the WWE is wetting themselves, because I think for the first time they see this could be our new Rock or Stone Cold, or this could be our new, you know, whoever. And maybe they're right.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with LA, about the LA Knight thing, if they make them like a megastar, they got to be careful with that. And
they got to be extremely careful, and he's got to do it perfectly, Tom. But I think the WWE is salivating at the idea that they may have found their new big, big star.
Yeah, and, you know, to a certain extent, they're right. But they got to be careful with, you know, I'm going to echo everybody on the panel. They have to be careful with, you know, how they work it, because it could, if they work it wrong, it could be a disaster. And
it could be very short-lived. So let's hope it isn't. We'll see what happens tonight. We'll be back here on Sunday. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.